My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. Thank you for joining us. You've also got...
Hey, filthy animals. You've also got Ben Vanel. You've got... Is that new? You've got Tommy Dasilo?
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't know if it's going to stick around, but I'm just trying it out.
I do like it.
You've got Adam on the line. What do you need? My neck hurts because I was on a plane and I was looking out the window real hard. Because the window was like slightly behind me. You know how it is on like a small plane and the windows aren't necessarily lined up with the seats.
Yeah.
So I was like turning around too much to look out of it for an extended period of time because it was turbulent and it makes me feel more comfortable to look out and see like, oh, we're really far off the ground.
Yeah.
But like seeing all the clouds and shit, you can... make it into a ride in your head rather than a scary thing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No.
Either of you the least bit afraid of flying?
No.
Okay.
I'm not. I have this a fair bit before the plane will take off where I freak out and I go, this could be it. This could be, this might go down.
So I have...
Where I can still do something about it, I'm panicked.
Right.
And then once the doors are locked and we're up in the air, I'm like, oh, well,
see,
if this is it, there's nothing I can do about
see,
it.
See, I also do sometimes be like, oh, you know, like we're so far up in the air. If anything goes wrong, it's, you know, it's the end. But that doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got things I look forward to, I guess.
So. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Different.
It's the landing for me always because that's when shit goes wrong generally.
Right.
Excluding crazy circumstances, which aren't really going to happen.
Sure.
Most of the time. It does, obviously.
Yeah.
But, it was just a real rough landing. And someone described it to me once as like, you know, if you're driving in a car, the road's bumpy. That's all it is. It's a bumpy road. Mm. But the road's under you the whole fucking time. You're right there at the road. That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, it was bumpy, but then it was a beautiful sunrise coming in on this red-eye flight, lit up the beautiful skyline of Melbourne very beautifully. I saw a nice Bunnings from there.
I think if you... Well, actually, you don't pay extra for a window seat, do you?
No, you don't. I try to get one if I can.
You can pay extra to choose your seat.
You can pay like $7.
I think if you've done that and you've picked a window seat and you don't have a window, you should get some kind of refund because that's fucked.
I had a window. It's not there for me as well. Like it's there.
So you were in a window seat?
Yeah.
And it was one of those windows.
I wasn't craning my neck because I was like, get out of the way, man.
Yeah. But it was one of those windows so where it's like 3/4 of the way sort of back behind your seat. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Not even that much. Just because I'm like a tall guy. I sit relatively forward in the seat anyway.
Okay. Right.
You know what I mean? I fucking get so jealous of all those people with barely any legs just fucking sitting there enjoying themselves.
Like Boston bombing victims and...
No, short people. Anyone shorter than 6'2", basically, I get jealous of. I've got tall man syndrome.
Yeah, we've talked about this before because Tommy and I both want to be taller.
But fuck taller. Nah, taller's great. It's good in every situation other than this.
Yeah.
I'm like occasionally bumping your head on something from a long time ago.
Sure. And those Indiana Jones traps where the like wire goes straight across the cave.
Totally. I'm always the guy who looks normal, but then, the head starts falling off.
Yeah.
In every other area of my life, I wish I was taller, except for on a plane.
Mm.
Because it's and I fly often enough that I'm like, I'm happy with my height.
Yes.
I'm happy to make that exchange.
Some beds I wish I was shorter in.
Okay.
Because my feet are like... there'll be some compromise where either my head is right up against the headboard and I have to sometimes wake up and be like, oh, my neck hurts. Oh, because of that. Or my feet
are
a little bit off.
What a neck problem for you because of your height.
Dude, the neck is the main area of height.
What about your back?
And there's a couple of others. My neck, my back, and some other problem areas.
Yeah, sure.
I might start wearing lifts. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's the dumbest shit in the world.
In my,
because you go lifts, then fucking wig. Don't start correcting any physical problem with yourself ever through hygiene, normal hygiene, or anything.
Or maybe I'll just get a pair of those. Like, I think it was this store, Windsor Smith. I saw they had like a pair that were essentially platform shoes. What if I'd start wearing them? Because that's not... At least you're being transparent about it.
People can see
the gigantic platform that you're walking on.
On stilts.
That's just a very short clown.
Become a stilt walker.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, he's doing it for the love of acrobatics.
Exactly.
He's not, yeah.
There's it's nothing like wearing wrong the with being any height, though.
It's like wearing the wig, but you've got the tag hanging out the side of it.
Sure.
So it's not like you're trying to deceive people. Mm. People are like, he just likes wearing a wig.
Good for him. I remember seeing an ad for some of those shoes, I think, before, where it was like a really judgmental looking woman looking at a short guy. She was like, no. Mm. And then he put the shoes on. She was like, okay.
I know the one you're talking about. It's always in, it's one of the airlines. It's in their in-flight magazine.
Trains as well.
Jetstar or something.
I've seen it in the train ad bits too. Mm-hmm.
That's the only place I've ever seen it is in that, I think it's Jetstar in their in-flight magazine, I love that they've targeted. It's like, this is where short men go en masse is Jetstar flights.
Well, they have the best experience in the seats. So absolutely.
When we were in Perth, I saw a shop that was called like, it was called like Big Man Plus or something like that. It was
big and tall, something.
It definitely had a plus at the end.
Okay. Big Man Plus is brutal.
You've
outgrown being a big man.
Yeah. Surely big man is enough.
That's so brutal.
Because the big sign, and it was a big sign, on like the side of it to advertise a building, was this dude who was the size of a skyscraper.
Whoa.
It's like, you don't have his fucking clothes in there. They wouldn't fit in the building. They are the size of a building.
I love it how they always group, and maybe this has been done in stand-up or something before, but like the fact that the tall people, it's like high and mighty in those stores.
Yeah.
Like they lump really tall people and really fat people into the same store. And they're not the same thing.
No.
Like they're not the same parameters for any kind of fashion whatsoever.
No. It's called King Size Plus.
Okay.
And then underneath it says big and tall. Yeah. Because this guy who was the size of a building, it's like, he does need a specialty store, I guess.
Sure. I remember there used to be a shop at there is a plus.
Give me a look. Yep, verified.
There used to be a shop in like a big shopping center called Big City Chic.
Yes.
And it's like a plus size store. Mm-hmm. Then they removed big from the title. So it's just called City Chic.
Right.
But it's still a plus size store.
You see, I like that though. I don't like having to go to fucking Mr. Big.
I guess that's why. Yeah. It's just like, no, I just want to be able to go to a shop. I don't need to be told it's for big people.
It's the same as if you use credit card to pay for a fleshlight. That thing is showing up on your taxes like dog toy or something.
Sure.
Something
entertainment land.
Or on your...
So you're claiming
this
back on tax?
I mean, on your...
What hidden bloody profession do you have that we don't know about?
I'm talking about it on the podcast. So
true.
I don't own a fleshlight, much to my chagrin.
I don't think I'd ever use a fleshlight.
Wouldn't ever?
No, actually,
I would absolutely to know.
I wouldn't get one, but I have heard of like there's a bunch of comedy festivals in the States that I've heard people talk about where they give you like a goodie bag doing it, and it's like I think it's like them going, "This is imagine getting a fleshlight."
Sure.
But it's like, no, well now I just actually have a fleshlight.
Yeah. I would have it, use it once, probably be too grossed out with myself to bother cleaning it out and have to throw it away after a week of remembering that I hadn't cleaned
it. A week.
My cum goes bad quick.
No, I didn't think a week was too soon.
Yeah.
Well, like I go like,
yeah.
Oh, that's, what have I done? And then put it away and then remember it every few hours and be like, oh, I should
clean that. Yeah.
No, that isn't what I do. I use it every day forever and call it like Sally or something. Give it a name.
You'd have to name it. You'd have to name it. How many times in do you reckon you'd have to be before you kind of forced to give it a name?
I fucking forgot my fleshlight's name. It's so embarrassing. I called out a different fleshlight's name halfway through.
Well, boys, we got some news. A couple of things that broke in between us recording and releasing our last episode. One of the big ones being Sony announcing that they are going to be skipping E3 in 2019.
It's crazy that after showing four games this year, they've got less than that to show next year.
Yeah.
Because that was enough for them to show the four and the 20 minutes of moving between venue in each one.
Sure,
half the fucking games were a guy playing a flute.
Yeah, a lot of flute work. A lot of flautists.
They're like, well, the oboe guy's out, so we've got no show next year.
I actually thought their show was pretty good this year. Like, I thought what they showed off was good. They didn't have a lot of it, but I thought they actually did it pretty well. Like, I saw a bit of stuff online of people going, oh, the this year's show kind of killed it. Like, people saying that this is a flagging to think that this is a direct response to how this is. I don't think that's the case at all. But no. I thought this one was good.
I actually liked how theatrical it was. Yeah. Like, spend more time on fewer games. It'll be better.
Totally.
I think it worked, and I think it worked partly because it was a different thing.
Yeah.
And I think if you did it again like that, it would seem thin.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so they're just not going to be there at all, right? Because Nintendo stopped doing their press conferences there and instead just doing their direct, but they still have stuff on the trade floor.
Yeah.
Like, you can still, it's like after they've announced it, it's like, well, now you can go and play it on the floor. Mm. But they're just not doing that at all. Sony just aren't doing that at all, right? They're not going to be there in any capacity.
I believe, and I'll go verify this now, but I believe it's just zero presence at E3.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I remember not recently anymore, but there were a few years there in like 2008 to 13-ish or something like that where people were like, is E3 really going to be a thing at some point? E3's gone up and down in its relevance, and then they let people like the general public in, and that's all kind of shifted and warped and changed.
Yeah. It's like Comic-Con. Like, it's totally changed what it is. I think even that peaked like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's just like literally press conferences about superhero movies and that's it.
And I understand, like, you know, the industry moving away from that and times change and whatever, but it would be a shame to, like, I love that time of year. I love that week where you look up the time differences of the press conferences and, you know, in the various groups that we're all in on Facebook, like, you then have the discussion.
And
us for this, like, doing one episode where we just recap all of it and you kind of compare them and everything. To not have that, I think, would be a real shame. I get that it's moving away, but also in the age of social media and everything, it's almost got more relevance now than the fact that it lasted until now. It almost should just stick around now because it's, you know, it was probably 6 or 7 years ago. It was
when people do get into it, and it's not like Sony has to break away from it to have a relevance there, to have some relevance there, to have a bit of relevance there, to like have a piece of relevance there, to have an extent of relevance.
Oh no, they benefit from it. Like, it's a huge news cycle.
But
they
get heaps of
press,
right? Evidently, they don't. I suppose
from what I know, sort of secondhand about gaming conventions, at least here in Australia, it costs a lot of money to be part of them.
Yeah.
And if they're putting on something as massive as they did this year, fuck, that's got to be expensive.
Like, yeah.
Maybe that's $1 million they save. I don't know.
And they're not, to be fair, they haven't said that they're never going to do it again. Mm. They haven't said that they stopped doing it. So it could just be down to them looking at, realistically, I've seen a lot of speculation of this meaning that the games that they have coming up that aren't immediately dated already are 2020 releases, and that they're just really gearing up for the PS5.
Yes.
And they want to show that on their own terms. And all this really says is like, well, what are we fucking going to be there with?
Sure.
Maybe. I don't really understand the logic of those of, so what is it like, Death Stranding, Last of Us 2, and I guess Ghosts of Tsushima.
Yep.
Being 2020 releases. I don't see why that would necessarily be the case, because you can give them their own, a game that is out around the time of E3 has less of a presence at E3. Ones that are coming out later that year, like they talked about Spider-Man or whatever,
but
the late releases.
But if they just had a presentation where they just showed off four games.
But they can't do those ones again.
Yeah,
exactly. They can't bring Last of Us 2 back, even if it's coming out end of 2019.
That's it.
If it's its fourth E3 in a row or something where it's like, here's another new trailer.
That's almost bad press.
Yeah.
That becomes bad press at that point.
Well, Death Stranding is almost that at this point, where every time it's come out, people are still like, okay, what is it? And they get away with it because Kojima's name's attached.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that level of weirdness. But if it wasn't, I reckon people would be a lot more fuck off about that game.
Yeah.
But so wait, what were you saying? You were saying because they're coming out in 2020.
I don't understand why people are saying they're coming out in 2020 just because there won't be an E3 next year. If anything, it's the opposite where
they might be coming up, but yeah.
A PS5 is likely to be coming 2020.
Yes.
And
yes.
I wouldn't have thought that any of those games were going to be deliberately cross-generation type things.
Totally. So it'd be almost like cannibalizing the interest in the current games by announcing the PS5 so soon after.
Right, exactly. And then if you're selling a PS5 the following year, how do you sell PS4s this year?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or next year for Christmas 2019 if there's a PS5 available for Christmas 2020 or whatever. How do you then convince someone, like, get the thing that's almost done?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
So you shut up about that, Tommy.
Well, the library and you price drop it. I mean, that happens all the time. There's always going to be a market for stuff that's on the way out because not everyone can afford to go in on the day one.
And there will be Last of Us. Like, there will be those games on PS4, so...
You'd assume there's some level of backwards compatibility at this point, too.
Yeah.
You would assume that it would be the sort of case where it's like, hey, PS4 Pro will do it even better. PS5, though, this will fucking kick Last of Us 2's ass.
Sure.
Yeah, it could be a real case, too, of, like, they've done their projections and the way that they want to... The way they've got their next 18 months or 2 years or whatever it is laid out, it just doesn't quite suit them to be announcing the PS5 in July, and maybe they're looking at it and going like, well, we'll do our own streaming thing in November. You know, maybe it's like it's close.
Yeah.
It's roughly around when they would want to be announcing it, but it's just like off by a month or two where it's like we can't – it doesn't quite suit us to get it together in that time. And why are we being held to this annual thing?
It's maybe even that it's – like similar to the announcement of the PS4 where that was in like March 2013 or something. That seemed to fucking work for them. I don't see why it wouldn't this time.
Yeah.
So maybe it's we're 9 months out of where we want to announce it. We're in the wrong year.
Yeah.
Let's just not have anyone have any expectations of us in E3.
Yeah.
Sure.
Have them be disappointed fucking because we don't announce Diablo 4 and start yelling at us. You know, like,
and we'll just stagger the releases of the games we have coming up and focus on those and not distract from that.
And if they think that giving the platform over to basically Microsoft, because Nintendo has their direct, but
it's outside
Nintendo's
of,
always been the lowest presence at E3 anyway.
Yeah.
Or not always, but recently has. And then having Microsoft going like, yeah, you guys have it, that's fine. They must be pretty confident that they don't need it.
Well, and that's, I think you assume that Microsoft aren't going to be announcing their next console at that E3.
Or maybe they do. Well, if they thought they might, they'd want to beat them.
Yeah.
Did you see Microsoft then, like a day or two after, they kind of put out a thing saying that they will be at E3?
Yeah.
In that real way of like going like, yeah, we love being amongst the community. We can't wait to see you all there. Just absolutely playing off.
We listen to what you say. Well, it's flipped the fucking again. Like
PS2
to PS3, then to PS4 to PS5. They get confident. They go, ha, finally, we're at the top. We can rest.
Yeah.
What's going wrong?
Yeah.
That if Microsoft comes through and is the only group at E3 going like, hey, motherfuckers. Xbox 3 or whatever dumbass name they give it, like the Xbox Gold or some stupid fucking... What do you reckon they'll call it?
The Xbox minus 2.
Oh.
Xbox B.
X... Or what about like Z-Box?
It's Z-Box.
But like that's... If Microsoft go, all right, fucking here we go, holy three to ourselves, let's announce a new console, and a streaming service, we're talking about like the Netflix of games, but also game console hire.
And we've got no fucking games coming out, says Microsoft. Yeah. How about we announce a console with like, and at launch, all these games will be on the Game Pass, which is included with the console or whatever.
And here's my prediction. So it won't be called the next Xbox.
Yes.
It won't be called an Xbox because they've never changed. But that because
you're freaking me out again, man.
They could call it anything. Like why, you know, like given that they've kind of like butchered the like, you know, PlayStation are kind of stuck with 2, 3, 4, 5, like it makes sense.
Yeah.
Xbox just have never done that. And they're so moving away from this medium of discs and however they've done it in the past. It kind of would make sense to just like rebrand and go
Xbox is
here's just a new just a new thing.
I think it's even still their brand on like Windows 10.
Oh really?
I think Xbox is their game brand forever. For the foreseeable future. So I reckon it might just be Xbox.
Yeah, that's. I think this would be.
But that is going to be so much even fucking weirder because then there's the Xbox, the original one, and then there's the 360. You can always call that. That's fine. But then the Xbox One, that doesn't describe the first Xbox.
Yeah.
But then the Xbox, you can't even just call the Xbox anymore because then there's the Xbox, the fourth one.
Yeah, I don't know what any of them are.
Maybe they call it fourth gen and go like phones or something. The fourth generation Xbox or fifth generation because of the X.
This could be the moment that they go like, here is the thing that is the thing forever.
Yeah.
So we're not changing names. We're not even really bringing out new things. We're going to iterate on this.
Yeah.
And here's the fucking snappy, you know, call to action, fucking $30 a month and you get everything. This is what gaming is now.
Play it anywhere. You can play it on your Xbox Pro, which is this console that we've made, or you can play it on the Xbox Lite, and then we're going to refresh them every couple of years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows? But they have the opportunity now to, if they are ready, make that decision for everybody alone at E3.
It would be almost underwhelming for them to just be like, here's some games that we have a part in releasing.
And then if you're a big fucking
nerd...
yeah, but if you're like a big company with a game coming out...
Mm.
When you might have gone like, okay, Sony, we want this at your press conference. Here's Call of Duty and our fucking thing, our marketing deal with you.
Mm.
Sony's no longer there. So it's like, okay, Microsoft, I guess we're back.
Yeah.
And so Microsoft then gets to have all these big games, whatever they may be, announced at their press conference because they're the only fucking motherfucker in the fucking town.
I hope Sony just go in like a week after or whatever. I hope they've got something huge up their sleeves.
Yeah.
And they're just they're just waiting to see what happens so they can be a bit reactionary if they need to and then just 2 weeks later go, oh, cool. Yeah, Microsoft didn't announce a new... Anyway, here's PlayStation 5.
Yeah. Maybe.
With these games.
Yeah,
but that'd be...
That would be cool.
Who knows?
Would be such a huge dickhead move.
Yeah.
That would rule.
Someone's got to do something because I don't want it to just be what I said of like, here are a few games.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you in another year.
It might just be a lame year. That happens from time to time that it's like, okay, we're in this weird middle point.
Everyone's working on something.
I mean, it was a lot of stuff we already knew about.
Yeah.
It wasn't like... I didn't dislike any of the actual presentations, but it wasn't... I wasn't overwhelmingly excited.
I liked the hubbub around E3, but the actual sort of information coming out of it maybe wasn't that interesting.
They were all...
Cyberpunk was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
They were all fine there. Yeah, Cyberpunk was probably the only thing that really, you know, rocked my socks off.
Is that where
I was like, oh, that looks cool. I was just like, oh, fuck yeah. Mm. Everything else... The reveal of Smash Brothers having everyone in it was like, oh, that's cool. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, my God.
And I guess even Cyberpunk, that like 40-minute thing actually came out in August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like press who were there at the time going, hey, this looked great.
But
that trailer they showed there I thought looked fucking great.
I don't even remember what
that was. You're right. For me, like I went and watched a bunch of... I went fucking Blade Runner again. Like that really did get me excited. But
Yeah. That was really the only thing.
Mm.
And there was heaps of stuff that I saw that I really liked the look of.
Yeah.
But it wasn't... Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a year where instead of it being any of the big three kind of, you know, console companies, it's just a lot of the other developers have stuff up their sleeves that we start to see, you know, maybe there's some big announcements from all those companies where
more and more
oh, right, cool, this looks great.
Mm. There has been the EA conference, the Ubisoft
Bethesda,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, man, Bethesda, what the fuck do they say next year? Like, Fallout 77, which is what the game should have been coming out soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
cancelled.
It's cool. It's interesting. Like, it's to see what they actually end up doing. Like, what them not being there actually means for what their next move and announcement is. But it is a shame for, like we were saying, all the hubbub around E3 and the excitement of getting ready for those press conferences and for this pod. It's like,
man,
it's one less thing to talk about. The stakes are a little bit lower when there's not three kind of... you get this feeling of them all going up against each other and being like, who's going to win or lose or whatever.
Setting an alarm for fucking 2 a.m. to watch one of those press conferences live is fun for me, but I understand that that is absolutely not a big market for them and that they can... definitely have the numbers to go like, this isn't worth it.
Sure, yeah.
To not even show up and have demos and stuff on the trade floor,
it's got to just not be worth it.
Bizarre.
Like E3 is a cultural is the wrong word, but as a cultural thing, is bigger and more important seeming than I think it actually is these days, because it used to be the fucking thing.
For sure, yeah, that's true. That's true, and there are so many, like, there's PAX and there's so many.
If someone says, hey, Bon Jovi's here, you're like, wow, Bon Jovi. But then if you think about it, you're like, why do I care about that?
I don't go, wow, Bon Jovi in the first place.
Dude, fucking Cyndi Lauper was in a bar I was in once, and I was like, holy shit, Cyndi Lauper. And then I was, but no, Cyndi Lauper's all right.
I know, what it's I mean. The name, like, recognition rather than it's like, oh, this is genuinely exciting because I'm a fan and I'm actually interested.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Holy shit, Matthew Perry?
That would be cool. Would go off.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, I could get some cocaine off him.
He's got great comic timing. Anyway.
Does he?
Yeah, what else? The Detective Pikachu trailer. That was another one that came up just, I think, right after we'd recorded on the Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu, the movie.
Yes.
Not the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
That game's been out.
I think it looks really, really good.
Yeah, surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah, I think it looks sick.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this, Knox. The only thing is, I think we both wish that it wasn't Ryan Reynolds.
I just don't think he fits at all. Like, for that joke to be... I think the better version of that joke, Pikachu's got to be the straight man, kind of. He can't be the wacky one because he's already wacky. He's a talking fucking
Pikachu.
He's
a talking animal.
Yeah.
So he should be like, I hate being a Pikachu. Not like, whoa, I'm a weird Pikachu.
Yes. If it was Bob Hoskins, it would be better.
Hey, it'd be quieter at this point.
But he is like that in the game, right? He's more gruff in the game.
He's more what you'd think of as a detective.
Grizzled.
Cartoon detective. I actually can't remember the sound of his voice now. I'm not great with voice recognition.
Okay.
I'm no Siri.
Adam.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, Adam.
No, sorry. Yeah, what do you want?
I also think with Ryan Reynolds specifically...
I also think that Graham Bennells...
With Ryan Reynolds specifically, it's for me, it's too close to him being Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, that's his voice. Like, it's not... That character isn't... You know, he's in the mask for the whole thing.
Sure.
So it was a voiceover thing. It's way too recent for that.
Because of the voicing, I don't really notice that aspect of it. Like, he doesn't sound like Deadpool or anything to me. He just sounds like too high up and too, you know, what... I don't know. But you need a name attached, but there's plenty of other names.
Yeah.
Mr. Jonathan Bon Jovi.
Wow!
Yeah, I take it back. That really excited me, just even hearing the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it looks really good. On paper, I don't know if I knew that they were doing this or not. I'd certainly forgotten about it until the trailer came up. And I saw it getting shared around. I was like, oh yeah, who cares? And then watched it and was like, oh, I actually am interested.
I love the designs of the Pokemon. I genuinely think they're great.
I think that's the best thing about it, is that they've kept all of the designs, all of the proportions and everything, and just made the textures look realistic.
And like, they don't look like real. They don't look like those drawings you see.
They look cartoony.
Yes.
Yeah,
like they look in the games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in a good...
Like a Pixar version almost. Of like that Toy Story weird texture to
almost something a little bit further than that, though.
Yeah.
I can't think of an equivalent where it looks quite how this looks. It's a nice weird middle ground between cartoon and real that I really like.
Yeah, it's taking the exact character models of the games, and instead of going, well, what would this look like in real life, and, you know, Squirtle looking like an actual turtle,
right?
Yeah. It's keeping his...
You've got to have the 3D model be the same.
But going, okay, but what would his skin look like? Like, what would the shell, you know, how would the dynamics of the shell actually look in the real world?
Yeah, that makes sense. And, like, the Charizard looks a little different. Fucking the Bulbasaur in it or whatever looks a little different. Mm. But, yeah, I actually am way into this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought I thought the same thing about the game. And then I was like, oh, this is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of a cool way of doing it too, where I feel like if they had done it in a way where it was... Because that's the other thing I think is interesting about it, and not that I've kept up with the Pokemon movies and TV series and stuff over the years. It's interesting to see a take on that world that's not just a trainer who's just focused on battling them and being the best trainer.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the world where it's like, yeah, you live in the world and there's just all these like different varieties of wild animals that live in it. So kind of how people relate to them in that kind of different way.
Mm.
And I think if they had done it as a, you know, remaking of the story of the cartoon or whatever, where it's a kid trying to be a trainer, it would probably be pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I think the fact that it's kind of got, it's a couple steps removed, like having a detective story in it allows them to do all that other side of it a bit more faithfully and a bit more interestingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Yeah. Thumbs up from me already. I'm wow. calling it my number one film of 2019 before it's even come out.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I reckon you jumped the gun a bit, mate, but yeah. All right.
Well, you know, that's the kind of crazy review style I have.
I think that's my favourite review of 2019.
There we go.
I reckon in 2019, I will lose my virginity.
Wow.
If we're calling things early.
Okay.
That's the most wild one of all. Yeah.
That would be insane. It's back. Oh, no. I got to fucking get rid
of
it.
You just know one morning when you wake up, you're like, oh, no, I'm a virgin again.
Yeah.
What else? What other news did we have? Was there anything?
Well, there's a rumor that the next Xbox is going to be discless.
Well, so this is a version of the Xbox One already that exists, is the way I saw it, that will just not have a disc. So it'll be the
right.
Xbox yeah. One S, but without a disc drive.
Right, okay, yes.
Which, whatever, I guess that's always a thing that happens late in a console as well, as they put out some weird version of it where it's like, this is for all the people who wanted it even cheaper and even less and even smaller.
Sure.
There was like that weird red Wii that had like something fucked with it.
You got to fix your diet, man.
I don't think that's diet related.
Well, he's only eating like beetroot, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I ever do. I'm a beet man. Whatever.
Cut that out.
Someone's written here, Valve discontinues Steam Link.
Yeah.
I didn't see this.
Yeah, I read it in the news today. Valve has announced they're discontinuing the Steam Link.
Oh, right. Okay. I guess people didn't really use that much, but it's a cool idea for... I was thinking because I'm...
What is Steam Link?
So it's the little fucking box you can get where your PC streams to the box so you can play a Steam game from not next to your computer.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Which I was a lot more interested in recently because I'm going to be moving somewhere and the setup that I'm likely to have... would have allowed for that, but like, I guess fucking not, huh?
PC bedroom, TV, living room.
PC just fucking off somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, just don't even turn it on.
Yeah, well, you go.
Just off. No, leave it off. But yeah, fucking a big-ass computer won't necessarily fit in a living room nicely.
Sure.
Yep.
So, and I want to have it on the TV so I don't have to waste space with a monitor and all that.
Fuck yeah, you literally could have had your PC tower in a cupboard.
Yep.
Steam Link, because that's the thing. Like, we, Knox, would both have, like, what, 200 games on Steam, something like that?
I don't know.
Well, have a guess.
No, there's no way I'm going to be able to guess.
Rough estimation.
I'm not giving misinformation here.
Well, I've got
somewhere between 12 and more.
I've got heaps.
Yeah.
And the fact that even the option of playing them in a convenient place is gone now kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It just reinforces that. I mean, it brings back the divide between PC gaming and console gaming.
The ones that exist now must continue to work. They're just discontinuing production and support or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's still fucking annoying. Mm. They've switched over to Australian dollars too in the Steam shop, which has led to a bunch of games no longer being available for purchase because those companies just haven't done the work yet to update them.
Mm.
So wait, they had to set an Australian price than it just being...
And a lot of companies went like... tax and stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because we've got fucking weird digital import laws now.
And other countries have that like value added tax and stuff, and there would have been financial shit to work out.
Yeah.
But now there's like, it's like a high percentage of games can't be bought, at least currently.
Yeah.
Australia.
Like, fucking Australia sucks so much.
Yeah, we've been talking about that a bit lately. About everything.
We're all very down. We're all very down on.
Well, man, so like, okay, PUBG is coming out on PS4 as another piece of news.
Yeah.
Which that's cool. But that game is not worth buying if you live in Australia at the moment. Because the fucking, they shut down. The way that the servers all work, you can't pick a server with a higher population because they're worried about lag or whatever. So it just takes fucking forever to get into a game now. It just sucks.
Mm.
Let's all say our least favorite things about this country.
Okay. On three. One, two, three.
Racism.
Yeah.
Tommy notably silent.
Yeah, that's the one thing I think it has going for it.
We certainly do a lot of it.
It's good to see people passionate about something, you know? It's not something we really get here much.
Oh.
So
I'm kidding, folks.
Just as a pricing comparison, I've just realized I don't know how to figure out the American side of what these cost.
Because we're in Australia.
I've got a currency converter on my phone.
No, but I can't look up the American expense amount. Price. Easily.
Oh, wow.
I tried to message someone the word restaurant before and had to do food place because I couldn't remember the word restaurant quick enough.
And even this man said racism. So
yeah, exactly. I'm worse than that.
Yeah.
I'm a lower intellect than that.
Fuck.
What are you trying to look up? Are you trying to look up the comparison between what something costs in Australian dollars on Steam and what it
would convert to from American dollars? Because right. I remember people saying like, "Oh, well, this is going to go up."
Yes,
you're going to end up paying more for games if it's got an Australian price.
Mm. Right. Mm. Yes.
So, for example,
here we go.
There's a whole bunch of shit on sale at the moment. So this is, but that still tracks.
I would have thought it would have been the other way around. Certainly at the moment, because the Australian dollar is. Not too good at the moment.
No, but so games are this weird thing where in America they'll be like $50.
Yep.
And the currency conversion to here would be like, I don't know what, 70?
70, 80.
But the game would actually sell for $90 here because of fucked taxes and stuff.
Okay, right. So Planet Coaster is the example I'm going with here. Normally in a... it just automatically moved. It would normally cost $44.99 US and it costs $64.95 Australian. That seems about right.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
So let's look for a fucked one to deliberately skew this.
Okay. Welcome to Planet Money, everyone.
A lot of these seem fine. I don't think that thing that people were worried about. Oh, hentai temple's only 62 cents.
Fuck.
So my body is a hentai temple.
What would that convert to roughly in Australian cents?
It's 62 Australian cents.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah,
it's 49 American, which converts to 67.
Oh, God. The sex number.
This is infuriating.
But in the UK, you'd be paying 39p for Hentai Temple right now.
Okay.
In Australian dollars, by conversion rates, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to announce that that is exactly 69 Australian cents.
Hell
fuck
yeah.
My ass.
I think you probably can.
Game of the year.
Yeah, hell yeah.
What is Hentai Temple? I'm going to look this up. Fuck, I should buy it. 60 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bargain.
It's a puzzle game. It's like fucking literally puzzles.
Oh, jigsaw.
9-piece jigsaw puzzles.
Awesome.
With cartoon boobs on it.
That's a great price for a jigsaw.
That's a really good point.
It's a cheap jigsaw.
It is only 9 pieces, though.
And it looks like there's 10 levels.
Okay.
Hentai Temple is a classic sliding puzzle game, but with a slight Japanese touch, is the description.
Who needs the description?
Yeah.
Who doesn't look at the screenshots and go, oh, I get this?
Yeah.
It's a jigsaw puzzle.
The title.
Do you want to hear about the updates that they've been adding?
Please read the release notes.
Content posted in this community may contain nudity or sexual content. Do not warn me again for Hentai Temple view page. All right. So Jack Ryan comments, the super spy Jack Ryan.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I would recommend the possibility of getting the images as items for Steam. Is that doable? Otherwise, very nice game. Someone gifted it to me and it is relaxing. I hope we'll see some more levels.
More like Jack off Ryan. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Stick Tong, and then some Japanese characters, says, if there is no achievement, I guess I have no desire to finish it.
What about the satisfaction of having done a good puzzle? I haven't done a jigsaw puzzle in God, I can't even think. Yeah. Easily a decade.
Yeah, I'd be like 20 years, I think.
Yeah.
I know when the last time I did it was. It was 11 years ago, and it was when I wasn't invited to a party that was down the road. I did a jigsaw puzzle instead to like really drive it home to myself. I was consciously doing it to be like...
Punish yourself for not being invited.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were like whipping your back at the same time.
Exactly. It was jigsaw self-flagellation. Yeah.
Wow.
And Hentai Temple is the perfect game.
That's probably why you didn't get invited, because they thought you'd turn up with a fucking jigsaw puzzle to this party.
Hey, everyone. It's Sergeant Pepper's. It's a little bit hard because there's a lot going on the cover. So
for the past year, you've been turning up to parties with a one puzzle piece going, I guess the final piece of the puzzle's here to have a good time.
Don't lose that, though, because I will need it later.
What was it a puzzle of? Can you remember?
It was Sergeant Pepper's.
It was Sergeant Pepper's.
Wow.
There's a thing I saw a while ago. I think it was maybe an article on Kotaku.
Hentai version of Sergeant Pepper's, though.
Yes.
Pretty
hentai
cool.
John Lennon. Big tits. Hated himself.
It's like a... Yeah, there there was a thing on Kotaku of them, an officially licensed Nintendo Mario puzzle.
Mm.
Lots of pieces, like a big one, but it's like a rectangle, and Mario is like right off to one side, and then all the rest of it is just this red backdrop. So like the entire puzzle is just this red, mat, and Mario takes up maybe an eighth of it, if that.
I saw a really cool thing the other day that is puzzle related. Ah, fuck, it's raining. I've got to walk through that in a minute wearing my white shirt. Yeah, like very slightly, look at that.
But you're on your way to a wet t-shirt contest, so that's fine.
Yeah, I know, but that counts as fucking...
Yeah, that's cheating.
It's game rigging.
Yeah.
I can't do that. The water's got to be from the premises.
You're on the juice. You're on the steroids.
Yeah, everyone. Oh, what are you talking about? Normal shirt. It's a little sheer.
Even if it's normal, it's already transparent. That's still cheating.
Yeah. I guess you see what you want to see. It's perfectly normal shirt.
Anyway, here's a puzzle piece.
this person on the internet was like making...
Oh, here we go.
Like as a gift framed sort of things... where from this one company that made puzzles, they used the same jigsaw to cut out all the puzzles. They were just different designs with the same shaped pieces.
Okay.
Right.
So he was combining them, or she was combining them, I don't know, and they were combining these puzzle pieces into new little bits of art from different bits of puzzles.
That's pretty cool.
Like the collage things almost. Yeah.
And that was a nice thing. Can't remember the location or name of this thing, but if you think that's cool...
Mm.
Do your own work.
Just Google puzzles.
Hey, I'm a detective over here. I guess I'll jump in and try. I know I'm in the movie.
Boy, I would love it. If anyone's listening and I think that's cool, there's a little bit of homework for you folks.
Yeah.
See if you can track down whatever the fuck this is from that vague description that was cool. Okay.
If
he or she...
Yes. If what Detective Pikachu is trying to solve is a puzzle, I'm less interested
in the
movie.
That's great. Whole movie. Yeah.
Where were you? Meant to be on this puzzle on the night of the 14th.
Yes. Big puzzle that he just does of the Digimon characters for the hour and a half. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty meta.
Yeah.
And that's all the news, hey?
I guess so.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it for the week of news until half an hour after we finish recording this, mm-hmm. and then some big new juicy stories will drop.
As is its wont to do.
Well, folks, speaking of Pokemon, I went in on Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu over the weekend.
Mm. Why Pikachu over Eevee, personally, for you?
I don't know. I just like... I don't know. From growing up watching the cartoon, I just have that connection to Pikachu that I don't have to Eevee.
From the trailers and stuff as well, it looked like they hadn't made Eevee have a lot of personality here.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Just looks like a dog or a cat.
Yeah, I don't quite know why... I think Eevee's really, really, really popular in Japan, which was why they did the split of the two of them. But it does seem like they just kind of picked a random... Mm. You can pick Pikachu or you can pick Mr. Mime. Yeah. Which one are you going to go with?
Pokemon, let's go Oddish.
That'd be way more interesting. I don't know. Eevee's kind of, I think, a little boring.
I don't know who would pick Eevee.
Mm.
What, like, why would you?
A bunch of people must have picked Eevee, though.
No, no one has.
It hasn't happened once.
So I thought when this was announced, whenever it was, a little while ago, I thought... First of all, I thought it looked really cool, and then I kind of got less and less interested over time because a lot of the stuff that was scaled down about it kind of started to come out, and I was like, oh, this seems pretty surface level. And
a lot of people are saying, like, no battling wild Pokemon?
Yeah.
It's not Pokemon then.
Yes,
lots of people have said that.
Yeah, which I was kind of like, oh, I think that sounds a bit fucked. And then there were more and more things that people were sort of saying, people lamenting that had been taken out.
Mm.
And then it got a bit closer and the reviews came out, and the reviews are all mostly pretty good.
Yeah.
It's got a pretty good score on Metacritic. And the consensus seemed to be, oh, the not battling wild Pokemon is actually fine because it just means less random encounters, which are typically... maybe my least favorite thing about RPGs, that thing of just walking around and just a battle
going off. Yeah. Yeah. Someone cut me off.
We were willing to wait.
Yeah.
I realized that, which is why I had to stop.
Both just sit back.
Oh, 4 hours.
But yeah, reading those reviews and them saying that the random encounters are gone, which is actually quite relaxing, and there are heaps of trainers around the world, so you do still do a lot of battling. And then realizing that a lot of the other stuff had been taken out that people were complaining about, or all things from far later ones that I've not played,
right,
that I kind of have no attachment to anyway.
Like the egg breeding and
all
the,
that kind of stuff, yeah, which yeah. I don't really right. I don't really know what that is.
So I have played Pokemon games with that stuff in and never really touched it because yeah. it's some further thing where it's like, no, my TV levels, I wish I'd have picked any two letters that didn't already mean something.
Also, you're not even, if you were sitting on the other side of the table and facing my TV,
yeah.
I could forgive that. Mm. You know,
it was just what's going on in my head.
Right.
Little, I'm that little fucking cowboy cunt from Willy Wonka. But there's not, like those trying to.
Gene Wilder.
Trying to. No, the cowboy.
Mike TV.
He's not the cowboy from Blazing Saddles is Gene Wilder.
Mike TV.
Mike TV.
Yeah.
He did just say that.
Mike TV.
Mike TV. I just learned from you that it's Mike TV.
Michael Television. Anyway, there's a crazy extra layer deep that you can get into. Mm.
Well, I played, what was it, Sun and Moon?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
didn't touch that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I that was the light. Like, I got that for the show and yeah. played it in the week of the show and then never really touched again. So I haven't properly
Same.
Sunk time into a Pokemon game in, I was trying to think about it, probably this generation of game that this is a remake yep. of, or perhaps, yeah, maybe there was one on the DS that I think
Diamond and Pearl.
I think maybe one of them.
Right.
Maybe.
I slipped into X.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or Y, whichever one. The 3DS one. The first 3DS one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Either way, they're all fucking the same.
Yeah,
sure.
To
yes.
some extent, and that is reductive or whatever, but
well,
they are
like,
all very similar games.
I played Blue, and then I played Sun and Moon, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's just the same.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So this is weirdly a big leap for them in a direction that maybe people are hesitant about at first.
Or overwhelmingly in favor of.
Yeah.
I think the announcement kind of caught people off guard where they were kind of saying, like, a new Pokemon is coming, and then they go, oh, it's this. It's a reimagining of Pokemon Yellow, and people kind of go, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And then they go, no, there is a new mainline one, an all new mainline
yeah.
one coming next year.
Tying it in with Pokemon Go as well,
I
think is kind of a divisive thing too, because I couldn't give a fuck about Pokemon Go. And I think that's a lot. I think there are a lot of people, the same people who would be into the BL training, whatever it is. I wish I could remember the two letters. But
Augustus Gloop.
People of the opinion that, like, Pokemon Go is not a real game, actually.
Right.
Yeah, so that was also part of my skepticism as well. So
Which
I'm...
is me. I don't know why I did that voice. I don't think Pokemon Go
sure.
is a real game.
I think there's still fuckloads of people who love Pokemon Go.
Yeah. So I'm 5.5 hours in, and I'm yet to see any of the Pokemon Go stuff in there.
Right.
I believe that it's just an area that you can go to where you can then import Pokemon in from your phone. And you just have them in this little park area,
right?
And you can fuck around with them in that. As far as I understand, you can't have Pokemon from your copy of Pokemon Go on your phone in the game and battle with them,
right?
It's just this separate area where you can just have them on your TV, and that's kind of it.
Okay,
I think. But like I said, I think 5.5 hours in, and I'm yet to. I haven't come across even that area yet.
Right.
So it's completely separate. So yeah, it is a reskin of the first generation of Pokemon game.
Mm.
And so I think I'm right in the nostalgia sweet spot where I played this a lot on Game Boy when I was 12. And so it looks like how I remember, like, wishing the game kind of did look when I was
sure,
that age. Like,
yeah.
it is, and all these Pokemon that I had just forgotten about because I haven't really kept up with it in any way, being like, oh, that's right, this one. And here it is in 3D and
yeah.
all the upscaling of it, and they look great in 3D and they've all got the animations. It's been, yeah, I've been really enjoying it. It's fun. It all holds up. Like, it's all the same.
Fuck yeah.
You know, it's all the battling mechanics and stuff that are just typical RPG, very, very simplified version of RPG battling, but, you know, them leveling up and finding them in the wild. And that's the other cool thing about the catching them in the wild and not having to fight them is that it's no random battles. You actually kind of see them walking around in the world.
Sure.
So you can see them on the map and go, oh, fuck, there's one of them that I don't have yet. So you can decide to go over and catch them, or you can just avoid them. You're not constantly getting attacked by this same
fucking
Rattatas that you've got millions of. Yeah. So that element of it is actually really cool. I went from being like, I think I'll skip on this, to going in and getting the maybe the most humiliating purchase of my adult life. The game with the Pokemon Ball controller.
Because the person who you bought it off recognized you
as
well.
Yeah, yeah. Awful. Just an awful moment in my life. And so we got to, this was in Perth, where you and I got pretty much on the same day, Adam. And I woke up, because of the time difference, I woke up at 6 a.m. and then I just sat around in my room waiting for the JB Hi-Fi near me to open.
Oh, yeah.
So I was there basically as the roller door went up.
Shifting back and forth on your feet. Can I see that little, would you have that little Pokeball thing?
Yeah, yeah, I'll go get it.
I want to see that shit. May, as Tommy's leaving, we can't talk about this game because neither of us have played it.
No. I've got a copy. I mean, it's at a post office.
Yeah.
Certainly is in the same city as me.
Who knows which post office, though? Oh, I like this. It feels nice.
It's cool. Actually, it's really cool.
That looks great. I literally don't know where it is.
It's got a nice,
for the listener at home, I just took my penis out and placed it in Adam's hand and he's now...
I'm holding that little Pokeball go through. It's like the Pokeball's smaller than I always imagined Pokeballs to be.
Yeah, it's smaller than I thought it would be. It's kind of weightier than I thought it would be. And it's got like a different surface to it. I thought it'd be kind of just a cheap plasticky kind of feel, but it's kind of a matte, like it's
felty almost, like a nice feeling
it's
thing.
It's sort of rubbery.
Yeah.
Latex-y. And it's, as a controller, it's really cool.
Don't know what materials are. Mm-hmm.
So the little button on it, so it means that you can play the game one-handed. So you use the stick to move around.
Dude, you want
to
play a game one-handed? Let me introduce you to a little game called
Hentai Jigsaw. Temple.
No. a different callback than either of you said.
TV. but yeah, it is.
So it's got a button for clicking in the stick and there's another one on the top of the Pokeball.
Yeah, so it basically... Yeah, because all you're doing in the world is just moving around. You never have to do actions when you're in the overworld map, and then all the other stuff is just menus. So you just use it to select menu items, and so then when you're in the when you're catching them in the wild, there's a bit of motion control where you just kind of chuck it towards the TV. Which, we're all off on motion control.
I put it on my wrist and threw it at Tommy, and he really tried to keep his cool, but there was a big blink.
Tommy did not move. He didn't move.
It was an enormous blink.
It was a blink of annoyance because I'm trying to talk,
same
you
blink
fucking
happened.
Idiot.
Did you see it that time?
I did see a blink that time.
Oh, no.
This is so annoying for us and the listener.
Yeah,
I'm a Pokemon
fucked.
Trainer.
This is fucked. It is. So it has a joystick. Like it has a thumbstick, which is...
Where the little front bit of the Pokeball
much
is.
Better than I thought it was.
Yeah.
It's genuinely a half a Joy-Con.
It's extremely silly.
Yeah.
This is a dumb piece
it's
of
so dumb.
Material that I'm holding.
But it functions as well as... A dumb peripheral you could hope for it to function.
Sure.
So, like, when you catch one
in the
game...
Do you want to see
game,
if Spider-Man was a Pokemon
God.
Trainer?
You shouldn't
have. Oh, my God. Oh God.
That's what it'd look like.
Adam got his dick out.
The first time you've focused all podcasts, and it has to be on this.
He's like
you're checking
child.
Your phone and getting distracted by the clouds outside.
Ring, ring, who's there? It's a Pokeball.
Oh, God.
I wish everyone could see this because I'm killing it.
It rumbles when you catch one. You can feel it moving around in there. It makes like sounds come out of it in the game.
Two in the Jigglypuff, one in the Diglett.
Oh no!
God,
take it off him.
All right.
Anyway, it's a good game.
Oh, you just broke it.
It's a good game and a good fucking peripheral.
Yeah, I like
it seems
the peripheral,
like if you're looking for something simple and relaxed.
Yeah,
it seems like the thing to.
Weirdly enough, the timing of it is the perfect antidote to Red Dead. After being like so deep in that and all its systems and just like sitting on my bed in a hotel in Perth and just playing a game one-handed with a tiny ball in my hand, not to mention the fucking control.
Oh, he's got his
Yes!
You have to make noise into the microphone.
Yeah.
I was just like,
but yeah, it's good. It's a good game. I really thought it was going to come out and just kind of get panned for being a bit of a phone-in and not having much going on. And it's certainly not difficult. Like it's not a hard game, but all the joy of the Pokemon games from that first generation, it's all there.
Yeah.
And I think it is kind of a smart move of them just kind of putting this thing out to remind people or get people who've never properly played? Because I think what I've seen online is that there are heaps of people who've only ever played Pokemon Go. Like, they've never actually played one of the games where
right.
you actually do stuff.
So this is selling the next Pokemon game to Pokemon Go people as
yes.
well.
Yeah. This is getting them in on what the games actually are for them. I believe it's next year that they've said they're going to have a big new... And it has made me interested to see what they do with it. Like, I certainly hope, like, this the kind of the art style and the presentation of this one is really nice. Like, the look of it is cool and everything, but it is still very much just an upscaled top down Game Boy. Like, you're just moving in kind of four directions. Like, it would be so sick if they did, like, not full open world, but like a say like what Breath of the Wild did for Zelda, but of Pokemon.
Yeah,
a very opened up, like, not traditional kind of RPG trappings kind of thing. Could
I feel
be
like
fucking great.
The last couple of years, though, we've said that about almost every game. Like,
for sure.
They should do their Breath of the Wild of it. So I just don't see that happening with Pokemon, just to temper expectations, just because they've been so long for literally 20 years. I mean, so similar for literally 20 years.
Yeah,
but it's also the fact that the mainline ones have always just existed on handhelds. So this is kind of the first time that they would be developing one on the ground up for what is technically a console.
They've always had the option to make a console one if they wanted to, though.
Yes.
I guess. So.
But also that console one that they never made could have been...
Could be this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. Obviously.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying my time with it. I'll be interested to see what you think of it, Ben. Once you wiggle that little fanny down to the post office and get that little box, get that shit little pen that they have in there where you have to fucking put your signature onto this thing at Australia Post that they do not look at.
Yes,
and it is impossible for you to. Do you think you could fuck up that e-signature badly enough that they would go, we're not giving you this?
I've literally just drawn a line before.
I always draw just the letter W because, like, it's not in my name.
Yeah,
W has no relation to me.
You could sign an X and it would be almost relevant.
Just next to W.
Oh, baby.
I bet that, nobody gives a fuck about any of that.
They literally don't even look at it.
And then how do they know that's not your signature?
And they've already asked me for my ID, which has my name and address on it, which is the same as what's on the package.
When do you reckon we'll get rid of signatures as a society?
I think they're just too ingrained. I think they've been around. I had to break it to you, Adam, but I think they're here to stay.
Wow.
Dude.
I know you're desperate to get out of having to finally come up with a signature.
I write my name, but more closely together than normal is how I do a signature. It's just my normal handwriting, but I take less of a space in between each letter to make it look different.
I just do a squiggle and then a line and then a squiggle.
But I don't know how anyone ever learns any of those fucking things because you make it look the same all the time. I can't draw.
I just remember.
But I... Yeah, no.
I can draw, though.
But I fucking worked for years on trying to make a proper signature and a cool-looking thing.
You worked for years?
Like at school and shit. You're trying to find your place in the world.
That's what's so stupid about it is it's something that you decide. Like, you at a certain point in your life go, I'm going to have to work out my signature, I guess.
Yeah.
Like
Banksy.
Your parents, when they come up with your name, they should also dictate your signature.
But then you can't copy someone else's signature. That's the whole thing. But then if you spend enough time, you just fucking could.
Of course you could.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't even do my own, so I probably couldn't do it. But they're dumb.
Fingerprint ID. Bring it in.
Nah, just a firm handshake.
That's not a form of ID.
Just can we all get along and just agree?
That's pretty good. So when I go to the post office to pick up a package, she's like, yep. Name corresponds with the name on the package. It's the same address.
Yep.
Now just put her there.
And
this package is yours.
Look me in the eye.
Yep. Three firm pumps and I'll hand over this box that's been sitting in this storage room for a week now.
Fuck. I do hate the post office, but I am glad that I get to pick up.
All right, Marin.
And I'm...
Do you hate the post office?
Stamps.com.
That's fucking Mark Maron, Detective Pikachu.
Yeah,
that would rule.
Yes. Yeah,
that would rule.
The first 10 minutes of the movie, everyone skips.
Yeah. He's constantly turning to his guy, going, "Are we cool?"
Yeah. Hey, I know I've been like a bit of a dick in the past as a detective, but like,
gates of the jail.
You got the fucking job as the chief, and I wanted to be the chief. But yeah, look, I'm doing all right now. I'm a detective, but back in the day when I was a gumshoe,
Hey, Pika buddies, Pika buccaneers, Pika-holics.
I mean...
He's always wailing on the guitar, which, again, no one's into.
What, welcome to the Meowth Ranch.
What Louis P.K. did, I don't agree with. Louis Pica was Louis Pica. Pica, like, he's so my friend, world, though, so I don't know how to make that work together.
So Louis okay. CK is also a Pikachu
he's
in this
a Pikachu,
world.
He's a Pikachu. And he's always coming out and showing everyone his fucking tail or whatever.
There we go. Yes. There we go. Well, yeah, I mean, nice. Anyway.
Take a Pika.
He has a Pikachu. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Is that it? Did you guys, you more Red Dead, I assume?
I'm in Chapter 6. Mm-hmm. I looked at the missions list on the wiki, and I'm near the end.
I finished it, and there are 3 epilogues.
Yeah, I did see that as well.
Yeah, so which I don't think he's given anything away.
I reckon next time we talk about it, do a big spoiler cast. I am loving the writing. I think it's the best writing of any video game, and I'm really excited to finish it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could say any video game, but definitely any Rockstar game.
Mm.
It's good. It's a good game. It's exhausted me, and I'm like, I don't know if I have it in me to go through the rest just yet, but just because there's heaps of other fucking shit I've got to do.
Yeah.
I have Fallout 76.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I had to leave the house, it was 36 gigabytes into a 54 gigabyte patch or something.
Nice.
Which is like
47, I think.
A many, many hour period that it had been doing that for.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's like yet, but I'm not looking forward to it.
Talk us through what it was like looking at that little bar, that little download bar.
I didn't fucking look at it because the second that it showed up, I went fuck off and turned the TV off and that just let it do its fucking thing. Mark, all right, TV. When you're ready, mate. It's partly the game's fault, partly Australia's fault, but a lot of it seems to be the game's fault too.
Yeah, 50 gig patch on top of a 50 gig install apparently.
Which isn't on the disc as well. Most of that initial 50 fucking
what was
gigabytes.
Red Dead took me a while to get going.
90 something.
But
total,
at least that wasn't all fucking download if you bought the disc.
Oh yeah, true.
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't, it was the game. It wasn't a patch.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I could be fucked doing it. It probably means I'm never going to play that game just because like it's pissed me off initially.
Now you'll play it tonight.
No, I won't. I won't be able to play it until at least Saturday at the earliest.
Okay. That's
so
several days away.
Hey, you know, we've been complaining about this country and, you know, the internet is a big part of that. But, you know, if our shitty internet means that less people are going to be subjected to Fallout 76, then, hey, perhaps this is the greatest country on earth.
I guess it's making me put the phone down and bloody reconnect with the world.
More like anti-social media. More like a shit game.
Oh.
It seems shit. But, you know, I will at some point try it just to go like, yeah, everyone's right as shit.
Yeah.
If I do subject myself to the humiliation of going into JB Hi-Fi at the crack of 9 a.m. To purchase a child's controller as a 32-year-old man, then you can fucking sit there and play Fallout 76.
Yeah, a game you already own.
Yeah.
I also have, for the purposes of this podcast, currently own Hitman 2.
Oh, you do?
And Battlefield 5.
Oh, you do?
I don't know when the fuck I'm going to get around to them.
Yeah.
I've got Pokemon coming and I'm excited to play that, but I also, like, I'm playing Red Dead 2 and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't want anything new to come along.
We'll have summer. We'll have that. We'll do that thing where we catch up on a billion games.
Oh, yeah, the summer reading.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we've got to wrap this up for another week on Filthy Casuals. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our Patreon where you can support the show. We do our premium Bandcamp episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we have all the socials and stuff on there. That's where you can find us.
I would say if you have never gone in on a Bandcamp episode,
treat yourself.
The video games music one is a fantastic entree to what they are.
Interesting.
It's a fun time.
Okay. Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks very much for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
we'll be back next week with President Barack Obama. He'll be here for some fucking reason. What does Mark Maron sound like?
That's great, great Bob Hoskin.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.